Good morning, 740 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's a Pensacola Morning News, and Mayor D.C. Reeves always joins us at this time on a Wednesday. Mr. Mayor, welcome back to the show, sir. Good to have you.
Thank you, Andrew. Glad to be back.
Great to have you. So the big issue to me that I want to talk about with you, we'll talk about the storm a little bit, but the big issue I want to talk about was this homeless ordinance that you guys are offering for Thursday night, the anti-camping ordinance, I should say. It's not really a homeless ordinance per se. If people haven't been following this story, of course, the governor signed into law HB 1365. I think that's the number, if I'm not mistaken, the one that prohibits camping in public spaces. And your proposal now is to prohibit camping on private property, including residences, unless they have the permission of the owner, and any camping on businesses or commercial properties or anything like that, and to prohibit sleeping in cars as well as a sub-definition of camping. Do I basically have this right?
Yeah, that's a pretty good summary.
Okay, so let's start with the first question I have is the camping in cars one. I know the idea here was to enact basically the state statute at the local level, but this actually goes beyond the state statute. The camping in cars one is actually allowed under the state statute. Why is that one included in this one?
Well, just to back up a second, I mean, you've laid it out correctly. Ultimately, one of the largest fundamental misunderstandings about homelessness and visible homelessness in any city is what the city's ability to do or not do something is. And all you got to do is go on social media or, I'll get an email every now and then that says, I don't want to look at that person. Why don't you pick them up? There's been court precedent for years and years, and we'll have to go over on radio, that has certain precedent in place that says that, they're really tied to hands of cities and states. And that has now all changed and continues to change within the last 6 months. So I think it's important for people to understand the context of how we've gotten here. So to your point, House Bill 1365 voted in by the legislature. And so 98% of what we're presenting to council on Thursday night is so we can actually have some level of enforcement of those rules. As it sits on the current ordinances in the books, those state laws are great, but we have no ability to do anything, under the current ordinances of the city. So that this is really a true up, if you will, of ordinances. I'd let Mike Wood tomorrow give you better anecdotal examples, but what I can tell you is what we wanted to eliminate is the difference between camping on private property or public property and being in a vehicle on a public commercial property, and that being the difference. We just had some particular issues with that. That was added in there on the advice, frankly, of legal counsel and enforcement. So, I certainly have a lot of trust in them of knowing what's out there, what are some of the problems that we deal with. So we've included that in there.
Okay. Yeah. Cause that's the one, honestly, I was at first concerned about the prohibitions on commercial property. I think there's questions about vacant property and enforcement of the, residential property without permission of the owner. We can talk about that in a second, but the car one is the one that caught me by surprise, specifically because the state statute protects that essentially. And when I think about the homeless population, as you well know, of course, there's lots of different dimensions to it. But there are a significant number of people who they have a job, they have enough money to afford rent, and then something changes, something hits, rent goes up, whatever, some crisis. And they move from their apartment into their car, and often with kids, right? And, kids in a shelter space is very challenging. There are very few opportunities for that. So for a lot of homeless people, living in their car is the only viable option for both safety and just having a place to do it. This would now seem to make that illegal, and I'm worried about the impact of doing that.
Well, understand, and again, this is probably too convoluted of an issue to talk about. I'll come back into the studio and we can talk through it. But
okay.
What I'd tell you is currently there is no overnight sleeping in vehicles in public spaces and public right of way right now. I mean, could you imagine if, you know, whether it was an RV or a bus, if you just had public space that was taken up by RVs and buses and cars and everything like that? We already have rules against that as it is. There isn't just stay and sleep in your car or your RV in a public parking lot for as long as you want. That, you know, as you can imagine, that doesn't exist.
Right now it's illegal for somebody to sleep in their car on a street where there's no parking restrictions.
You are not allowed to be staying overnight in public parking spaces. No.
But what about like on a what about on a street, like in a community or something, or just on a street where there's, you know, street parking and no prohibition on overnight parking?
We're getting technical enough. You'd probably need to ask Vanessa in our city attorney's office. I'm not a lawyer. What I'm telling you is the examples that come across my desk, which are RVs. There'd been one that had been at Corinne, in the city spaces along Corinne Jones on Government that's okay. There back and forth overnight. And no, absolutely. I'm fairly confident in telling you that it's not permitted, because where would it end? I mean, in other words, as I said, why wouldn't every public spot be an RV space that you could just stay in overnight? If you were allowed to just...
Yeah, I see that concern. I am seeing both. I am seeing the concern of what happens when this gets out of hand, certainly. But I'm also seeing the concern of... And I don't really know numbers. I mean, I have no idea what the numbers are. But I'm guessing that you're talking in the hundreds of people who live in cars in our community. And so if you're making it illegal to sleep in a car... Unless you can find a place to park that somebody's going to allow and give you permission for, I always get the concerns. But I also am worried about outlawing homelessness itself, and then where do these people go? It's fine to remove people from the park, but where do you drop them off? That's kind of where I'm at on all of this. Let me just put you on.
I think that's an important conversation for us to have as a community, hasn't really happened. So,
yeah, agreed.
And that's what makes this issue complex is it's like, oh, where are these people going to go? Well, we're investing $1.1 million in temporary shelters to be given to our current existing nonprofits out there that are already helping reduce homelessness. Anybody else can join us if they'd like in trying to also mitigate, invest dollars into trying to lower those things. And our nonprofit, I'm not speaking of our nonprofits who do an amazing job. I just met with them 2 weeks ago. I'm talking about, our business community, our the local city, state governments. And one of my biggest issues with this ordinance as a whole, or with this House Bill 1365, and I've shared this with Senator Dates and some of our state leadership is that, this is an unfunded mandate, understand right. We have obligations in this. It clearly states that we have to cure within 5 days if someone is camping on private property or in someone's doorway on Palafox Street. We have to cure right. that within 5 days. That is state law.
And like you said, it's unfunded, and you can be sued come January. You can be sued if you're not properly remedying this problem. One of the other things in the ordinance that caught my attention, and I know the city council talked about this. Well, what about my grandkids camping in my backyard? Well, with permission of the homeowner, is fine. But I think that's kind of the clean case. The more complicated case is, what do you do when somebody is, for example, staying overnight in a vacant home or in an undeveloped lot, and then, the PPD rolls up and says, hey, you got to go. And they're like, no, we have permission. How do you verify that? Who do you contact? How do you get in touch with even the commercial? Commercial will be prohibited, but, all these residential, how do you verify that they've got or don't have permission?
Well, to answer that correctly, what you'd have to ask is, what do we do right now?
Yeah.
So right now the answer is the city has no ability to do anything. We could run through every ordinance of the city, and I can give you a gray area example of, well, how are you going to verify that? Well, right now we can't. We can't verify, nor do we have the enforcement ability to do anything. So, we could gray area the other way and say, well, we don't have an ordinance at all. And I'm not sure if that's the owner or not, but we're just going to allow people to continue to, camp on this person's vacant property, whether they have permission or not. What I can tell you is we run into lots of those gray areas is, hey, there's a neighbor. I think that we had an issue on Lejeune Drive, since I've been there, where there's people camping, and do they have permission or not, and we can't get a hold of them. So then now what you have is an encampment for weeks and weeks that may or may not have been permissible by the owner. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yes, there's going to be gray areas in everything we do, but at least we're getting ourselves to a point where the city, per the state law as well, it has the ability to do something about trying to enforce the law.
Yeah, and I guess, maybe what I'm thinking here is, as I read the ordinance and I thought about the implications, it feels like maybe there's some elements to it that need more refining. Maybe a protocol for contacting the owner would be an important element of it. Maybe some kind of discussion about what to do with people who are staying in their cars, or, how much time would that be? I totally agree with you that we don't want, RVs camped at Bayview Park or Corinne Jones or even on streets. That there's certainly, when it becomes enough, it becomes a real problem. On the other hand, I just want to be cautious about, I lived near Grants Pass, where the Supreme Court case originated that ruled that cities could basically ban homelessness. Even though we might be allowed to do so, I'm not sure that that's the city that we want to be, even though I totally understand all of the challenges that come with public homelessness and panhandling and all of the rest of it. So, it seems like a lot more conversation to be had. So,
exactly. And I would say, I appreciate that. You believe in the city's ability to track every person on the hour and every space that we own at every public property.
Right.
The reality is, let's talk reality, which is,
agreed.
Are we going to know every person spending one night in one vehicle in one place? No, we don't know that now. I mean, that's impossible in this size of a city. This ordinance would allow us, if we're talking about a serial issue, to be able to uphold that ordinance.
Yeah, and look, I think I know where your heart is on this, and I know where the city council is on this. I just think as we all know, it's an incredibly complicated thing to think about, and I'm just a little concerned that the way this ordinance is written, it's going to be putting us in more of a harassing kind of paradigm with some of these people than we need to be. But I also get what you're trying to accomplish too. I'm very conflicted on this one, as you can tell.
Yeah.
I know you guys are getting a lot of thought to it as well. We always like to end with a little bit of a quick round, a lightning round, just some, kind of fun topics. And, obviously we had a pretty serious conversation. Here's a simple one. When you have leftovers, what kind of container do you put them in? Or are you an anti-leftovers kind of guy? I mean, are you Rubbermaid, Tupperware, the sour cream container, or are you anti-leftover?
Just a Tupperware guy, I guess.
Okay.
But if
all
I can find the matching top correctly, that's the key. It's whichever one I can find the top.
The same gremlins that get rid of your socks in the dryer, right, are the ones responsible for the Tupperware.
Exactly.
Was there a book that you can remember that first got you interested in reading? We've been talking about how, teachers have gone and schools have gone away from reading whole books, which I think is a horrendous decision. But is there a book that got you excited about reading back in the day?
I was big into the Goosebumps books back in the day.
Okay.
I don't know if that dates me.
No.
I've read a few of those, and they were short enough, for my attention span. So
Look, short books are books that get read a lot of times. And then the last one, and this is just going to be, there's no resolving this one, but it is an interesting note. The word Caramel, the inside of a Rolo, for example. How do you say that word for that golden, delicious gooiness?
Yeah, I would say caramel. It can't be. I joke and call it caramel, but that would assume that there's not another A. So.
All right. Well, these are the frustrations that I deal with in my life. So I think we can probably still
how
be friends, and
it?
We can at least have a professional relationship. It's caramel. It's a caramel.
Okay. All right. So it's Caramel is what you're saying?
That's right.
Like the city in California?
Yeah. And when you don't caramelize the onions. But this conversation for another day. Mayor D.C. Reeves, always a pleasure. Look forward to, I'm sure, it'll be a very robust discussion tomorrow at City Council. And we'll talk to you again next week. Thank you, sir.
All right. Thanks, Edward.